those of you who don't know me, my name is Bob Cody. I have the privilege of being the pastor here at the Spoken Word Christian Church. And before I get started, too, I also want to welcome, we have Pastor Trent and his wife Amy and family and their congregation visiting us with us tonight, celebrating this wonderful evening. And I just want to say welcome to you folks as well. Tonight we are going to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It promises to be a wonderful night. I think it's a good, this is the perfect place right here for us just to stop and pray. You know, Father God, I'm quite certain that many of us here have been running around all week, running to and fro, busy at work, busy with social events, planning Christmas parties, to the point where maybe it's even almost overwhelming for some of us, where we're just so distracted by everything going on. But tonight, as I mentioned earlier, is about you. And so just slow our hearts and slow our minds. Take a hold of our hearts and take a hold of our minds. And let it be all about you. Father, as we talk about your word, as we talk about this miracle of who you are in our lives and that beautiful baby who is in that manger, that cave, Father God, we are just so thankful for you. And so we lift up this evening, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's children said, amen. Well, about 700 years before Jesus was born, there was a man named Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet of God, and God would use him in a variety of different ways. God would speak through this man, and he would speak through him to the Israelites to let them know what the expectations were he had for them, to let them know what he wanted them to do, but also to let them know what he was going to do. You know, God spoke through Isaiah about something very special that was going to happen, about something that was going to come. And he spoke this in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And this is how it reads. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Amen. And you know, although Isaiah wrote that passage 700 years before Jesus was born, for me personally, I think it's incredible how this passage of Scripture perfectly describes why we celebrate Christmas. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. Every time I read that verse, I'm struck by what it means that God gave you and me, he gave us his son. And as we enter the Christmas season, as I mentioned, we're all busy running around. We're buying gifts. We're giving gifts. We're receiving gifts, right? We all have our Christmas list of those who are buying for us. Some people are higher on the list than others. You know, there are those, let's admit it, there are those who were giving last year's fruitcake. We're just simply re-gifting it to them, right? Those are the people that are a little bit further down on the list. But to others, to those who are very special to us, we think long and hard about that perfect gift, don't we? Something that's going to let them know that they're loved by us. Yesterday, Molly and Ashley and Elizabeth is the director of our ministries here at the church, they all got up early in the morning yesterday and took a road trip out to Las Vegas to pick up a puppy, to go and get a puppy. They got up early, they dealt with the traffic, they dealt with the weather, they dealt with the long drive, and I have no doubt that this puppy probably cost her a pretty penny because it was a very specific puppy. But she did this because she has a love for her son, her 7-year-old son, Benny, and she wanted to bless him this Christmas. And so regardless of the hardships, regardless of the cost or whatever, she knew the happiness that this was going to bring to her son. And so nothing was going to stop her, get in the way from this happening. And it was funny, too, while they were there, I all of a sudden got a FaceTime, you know, a video chat from Ashley and Molly as they were holding the last of the puppies. Elizabeth had hers, and there was one more puppy. And they were holding it up, and they were saying, Daddy, please, can we have this puppy? And I looked at them, and I said, no. I don't love you that much. Come home, though. There's a fruitcake waiting for you. No, I didn't say that. I thought it, but I didn't say it. I did say no, I'll tell you that. But I'll tell you, Jesus loves us so much, so much more than what we could ever imagine. And then we think of the hardships that he endured and knowing the cost that it meant to him personally to take on flesh and to come into this world. He was born into the world that he created, and he was the perfect expression of God's love for us. Because he knew that this gift of him coming into the world would bring the whole world so much more than just fleeting happiness. He knew that his gift was life-giving and that it would give our life purposes. It would bring us joy and hope and life everlasting. These are all things that we hear every year around this time of the year. He was the greatest gift ever given, an incredible expression of his love for us. And as part of his gift, he also gave us something else. You know, you remember those commercials, I'm sure they're still on, that says, after they get done selling their product, they say, wait, there's more. Well, with Jesus, there's always wait, there's more. Not only did God give us his son, but he gave us a leader that we can trust. Someone who not only tells us that they have a plan, but they have a willingness, they have an ability, they have the authority to carry that plan out. Isaiah said that the government would be upon his shoulders. This means that he has all of the authority to do and to accomplish whatever it is that he wants to do and accomplish. And it's his plan, church, that we are following. You know, in Luke chapter 2, this is the chapter where Caesar Augustus, he orders that a census be taken of his entire kingdom. He wants to know how big his kingdom is. He wants to know how many people he's ruling over. He wants to know how much money he's going to be able to tax and put in his pocket. And so the rule was that everyone had to travel to their hometown where they were from. And of course, Mary and Joseph were from the line of David, and so they had to make the trek back to Bethlehem, where David was from. And I love the irony of this story, because here's Caesar, the most powerful man in the entire world, the emperor of Rome, and he thought he had everyone doing what he wanted them to do, but he was the one doing what God wanted him to do. You know, in the book of Micah was another prophet of God. He was actually a contemporary of Isaiah. And so this, too, is written about 700 years before Jesus walked the earth. And in Micah 5:2, we read, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come from me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times." It was God's plan, not Caesar's. He was in complete control of the situation. Jesus was born exactly where he wanted to be born. This is such a comfort to me personally, knowing that God, that Jesus has a plan, and he has the willingness, and he has the ability, and he has the authority to carry out that plan, to see it through. Especially given what we see from our earthly leaders. Most of the time, no matter what side of the aisle you stand on, the left or the right, they're busy making promises and never keeping them, either because they're just telling us what we want to hear, or because they don't have the skill sets to get it done, or they don't have the authority that they think they have or wish they had. But Jesus does. And not only did God give us his son as that first Christmas present, but he gave us someone that we can follow, someone that we can trust. He has a purpose and a plan, and he will see it through to the very end for us. And this comforts me tremendously. Because God said this in Jeremiah 29:11, a scripture that we all know. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." What a present. What a gift. It's amazing. And it doesn't stop there. Wait, there's more. Additionally, Isaiah said he would be our wonderful counselor, that he would show us and he would teach us the very things of God, that he would be there to help us through the most difficult of times, guiding us and leading us. You know, I remember before I received the gift of Jesus myself, and I was all on my own out there, and I remember being so lost, feeling so helpless, so full of angst all the time, never knowing what my next step really was supposed to be. But once I received that gift of Jesus, I was given his word. I was given his Holy Spirit who took up dwelling in my heart. And in that moment, I realized I was never going to be alone again. Jesus would always be with me, leading me and guiding me. John 14:26, Jesus said, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." What a gift God has given us. The gift of Jesus, the gift of his word, the gift of his Holy Spirit, the gift of a wonderful counselor that we can always turn to, who will lead us and guide us through this life. And you know, none of this stuff is easy. It takes a mighty God to accomplish it. Now, Jesus may have been a little baby lying in that cave, but and by all appearances, he looked helpless and powerless. But that little baby lying there was mighty God, almighty God, lying there in the flesh, the creator of heaven and earth. John said in John 1, verses 2 and 3, "He was God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made." At the end of the book, in Revelation 1:8, Jesus said, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." He is the Almighty God. That little baby is the Almighty God. And that means that nothing is more powerful than him, not you and me, certainly not Caesar, not Satan, not even death itself is more powerful than him. That little baby that was born meant that God had given us the gift of life over death itself. And if it means that the Almighty God, if the Almighty God is with us, who can be against us? Especially when that mighty God is also called our everlasting Father. I mean, think about that. It's not like he's a stranger to us. He's not indifferent to us. He wants to be our Father. And in John 1, we're told that he has given us the right to become his children. Think about that. He has given us sinful, broken men and women the right to be called children of God. John went on to say in 1 John 3:1, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us." It's beyond words. That's how great. I think the one word that best represents Christmas is that word that John uses there. How great is the love the Father lavishes on us. It's love. Jesus is the physical representation of the Father's love for us. The author of Hebrews said the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Once upon a time we were lost, but our God came to find us. Through his only begotten Son, there was nobody else that was ever like him before. That's what begotten means. Nobody else who will ever be like him again. He was God's only begotten Son so that we could call him our Father as well. This is the gift that was lying in that manger. Think about it for a second. The Son of God came with a plan to give us life, to guide us through this life as our wonderful counselor. Only a mighty God could do that with the love of an everlasting Father. Only a mighty God and the love of a Father could do that and would do that. What a gift. You know, there was one last title that Isaiah gave Jesus, and it was Prince of Peace. One day Jesus would grow, and he would allow himself to be sacrificed for our sins. That's what the cross is all about. And the sins, these sins that made us enemies of God, but they would be forgiven because of his sacrifice, and we would be cleansed of them. And in that moment, he would bring us peace between God and ourselves. I think ultimately that's where the joy comes from. You know, there is tremendous joy in the Christmas story. Isaiah knew this 700 years before when he said, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Amen. You know, at this time, what I'd like to do is to invite the ushers to come forward. This is the part of our service where we're going to light our candles. And men and ladies, if you would do me the favor, if you have candles, please get them out, and the men will come by and they'll light them for you. I said men and ladies. Thank you, Jen. Maybe pass as your candle is lit. Maybe light the person next to you. In John 1:4, we're told that in him was life, and that life was the light of men. You know, for all of us who have received the gift of Jesus, for all of us who call him our Lord and Savior, Jesus gives us his light. He gives it to us. But he doesn't expect us to hold on to it and keep it to ourselves. He wants us to shine it in this world. Isn't that what he said in Matthew 5? He said, "You are the light of the world. And a city on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." So as you're holding those candles, as these candles are lit, let them be a reminder of the wonderful gift that Jesus is, because there's always so much more. Let's take his light out of this place. Let's take it out into a very dark world so that everyone who sees us can see it shining brightly by the things that we say and the things that we do that accommodate those words. Would you join me in singing as Kim and the gang lead us in Silent Night?